The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey friends, welcome back to The Common Good here on AM 1160, Hope for Your Life, alongside Aubrey Sampson. My name is Brian Fromm. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon, a beautiful sunny day out there in the Chicagoland area, and we are excited to be with you. And Aubrey and I are thrilled to be joined on the phone by Reverend Dr. Liz Rios. Liz, how are you doing today?
Hey, how are you up in Chicago?
We're great. We love that you're here with us, Liz.
Liz, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, Liz, we want to talk about all things, a lot of things with you, including Passion to Plant and this article we just recently read. But before we do that, here's what I want to have you do. Could you introduce yourself to our audience in any way you'd like so they can get to know you a little bit better?
Sure. Well, I'm a native New Yorker, and I am a transplant here in South Florida. I'm near Miami in Miramar.
Awesome.
I am the mother of two children. One is a special needs child. I've been married for 32 years to my wonderful supportive husband, who's also been a church planter and pastor. And I've had various different careers in my lifespan. I've been in higher education and in various different roles in the church.
Mm. That's great, Liz. We're so thrilled that you're with us today. Brian and I are actually both church planters, mm-hmm. So it's so fun to be talking church planting with you.
I understand totally.
You get it. You know what it is. Okay, so Liz, here's what we love. At the beginning of this article that Bob Smetana wrote about you and other female church planters, it says, "The Reverend Liz Rios has a simple philosophy of ministry. What God wants her to do, she'll do." And Brian and I were like, yes, that is it. That's amazing. Can you talk to us about that philosophy?
Sure. I mean, I think there has to be a point in our lives as believers, as Jesus followers, where we're going to listen to him more than we listen to the voices that are around us. And it's really easy to just fall into that. But I have, you know, I've been around for a quick minute. you know, we're getting to my age, but, you know, I've been around. And I just got to this point where I stopped the debating. I don't want to get into a debate with people who don't think that I should be preaching or planting churches or being a pastor. You know, I want to just do the work, because that's what God put us on this good earth for, to do the work.
That's right.
And prepare for this coming. And, it's a waste of time to get into debate. So that's why I said.
So clearly you're not on Twitter then. Liz, let me ask you this. Oh, that's funny. Liz, it says you've had multiple church plants over 30 years of ministry. I would just love to know the stories. How many churches have you helped start? And what is it that you love about startup congregations, about starting new churches?
Okay, so I helped start three, and my longest term in one was 10 years. Mm. And I served as executive pastor there. And one of the things that, I mean, I have stories for days, but things that I love about starting is, you know, that community that you first start to build and getting to know people's stories. Because I think as a church grows, sometimes the emphasis on listening diminishes, and it's, you know, starting to do the productivity. People start doing things and they forget how important community is. And I don't think that it's on purpose all the time, but I do believe that many times, you know, we just don't have that intentionality behind what we started in the beginning. So getting to know people's stories, getting to kind of like, you know, hold hands and do things together is one of the things that I love about startup churches. Mm-hmm. And also the dreaming part. I think, you know, when you're first starting, anything is possible. You're like a little child, and you're like, what can this church be?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you start going through the different stages of, you know, organizational life, then you start to see, you know, what are some of the hindrances and obstacles. And sometimes some people stop dreaming. And, and you know, that's the part that, you know, as a planter, we have to continuously remind people of what we saw in the beginning.
That's so true. Liz, one of the things that I appreciate about you is this organization that you started, Passion to Plant, as another, like, another female with you in church planting. Most of the training or programs that I've been a part of have been largely led by men and white men at that. And Passion to Plant is doing something different. So can you talk to us about that?
Sure. The reason why I started this, and I did this, I started this in the middle of the pandemic in April of 2020, was because I went through various different networks to get trained. And while I didn't start this as a corrective for all the things that they were doing wrong, I started it because I felt that there was just some things missing, especially for people of color interested in planting mm-hmm. in communities of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to, you know, just feel that there was a need for discussion on privilege and power, on how justice is actually biblical justice and
right.
not a politics platform.
Yep.
And, you know, we just started to just kind of, you know, dream up this whole network. And the next thing you know, I was doing a doctor of ministry, and I decided to, use that information to plant Passion to Plant. And that's how we kind of got started.
That's great. Again, Passion to Plant is passion, and then the number 2plant.com. That's passion2plant.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Passion to Plant. And Liz, as a pastor, we said Aubrey and I are both pastors, and coming out of COVID, although I don't know how much we're coming out at the moment, but as we move through this pandemic, there have been things that have been really challenging, but also opportunities. How are you viewing this next season? Are you discouraged and like, oh, this is hard? Or are you seeing some new opportunities that you're excited to jump into?
You know, that's a great question. So right now, it is hard. You know, we have to be real that it's hard. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's been challenging. It's been a time of grief, right? Because it's mm-hmm. impacted people in so many different ways, and in ways that were expected, and then some ways that weren't expected. So it's been hard in that way, because as a pastor, as a minister, the people that are in church leadership with you, you all have to figure out ways to be there for people when you can't even touch them,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's mm-hmm. so true.
So it's hard, because especially in the Latino community, we forget it. We're like hugglers and kissers. So this has been extremely hard for us, you know. But I do believe that it's also a great opportunity. And that's what crisis means, right? It's
yes.
also an opportunity. And I believe that it's a time for reimagining the church, because even pre-COVID, we didn't have a choice about reimagining church. We were mm-hmm. having problems
That's
already
right.
before COVID. But COVID just put that on the limelight. It just showcased what was fluff, what was not needed anymore, and it took everything down to the core of what is it that church is that helps people to become Jesus followers and disciples.
Mm.
And I think a lot of pastors were able to, you know, say, okay, this is what I'm going to do as we continue to progress, because we, like you said, we are not post-pandemic. I see some people saying post-pandemic
yeah.
church. I'm like, please slow it down, because we're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're still in this COVID situation. But I do believe that it's an opportunity for us to really sit down and reimagine ministry, because we keep reading, right, that the denominations are continuing to decline, and COVID just made it even more mm-hmm. obvious for people that were attending of what they loved and what they didn't love about the church, too. So it wasn't just the pastor that was getting a memo. Also, the people that were in the pews were getting a memo
yeah.
mm. about what is it that they loved and did not love. What can they do without, and what can they you know, be with when it comes to church ministry, which is why so many people are still hesitant to even go to church sometimes, even with a mask, you know, for the churches that are practicing the mask mandate, because they still haven't been convinced that the churches have learned their lesson.
Mm.
Yeah, again, Reverend Dr. Liz Rios is our guest, and she's going to stay with us. Again, Dr. Rios, you can find her work at passion2plant.com. That's passion, the number 2, and plant.com. You can also connect with Dr. Rios at elizabethrios.com and follow her on Twitter at Dr. Liz Rios. You really shared passionately and in some convicting ways about reimagining the church? Like, what does that look like? What are some things that we can reimagine? And I guess I'd love for you to continue kind of sharing there. What are the thing? What are some ways you would like to see the church reimagine itself and maybe change some of the things they've done in the past?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. There's so many things that sometimes put the churches in a box. So just recently, and you know, whether she has fans or not, I want to point out Nadia Bold-Weber. Mm-hmm. This church, the Lutheran church, just ordained her as public witness, minister of public witness, you know, for her role in as a public theologian. And it's never been done before.
Wow.
And I celebrated that because I said, see, this is a church that's reimagining. We never did this before, but they didn't use the, oh, we can't because they said, why not? And because they said, why not, they established a new role for a new era in our time when a lot of the discussion that's happening about religion is actually happening in the public square,
yeah,
as opposed to the churches, right? Because a lot of the churches are afraid to have these discussions. So that's why more and more people are saying, you know what, we'll talk to the people that are outside of the confines of what is traditional church. So I thought that was one thing that was really great to celebrate, whether, you know, again, people have fans or not. But the other thing is how do we get people to get together? Because we always celebrate the Sunday service, right? That is like the pinnacle of the church,
right?
That, okay, we have to meet on Sundays. Without that, we're not a church. And we have to meet in a building, because without a building, we're not a church. And of course, like, as we already discussed, COVID just, you know, flipped the script on that and reminded us that we do not need a building for us to be together and to create disciples and help them to live this difficult life of being a Jesus follower, right? So I think that's another way. My good friend, Pastor Jose Humphreys, he wrote a book called What Happens When the Church Shows Up and Stays Put.
Hmm.
And that is another thing that churches can do. Like, when they walk around, when they're looking at what's going on in their community, what is the gathering spot already, you know, where people are already gathering, where people are already meeting up? You know, more and more people, I live in Florida, so right now, you know, Florida don't care about mask mandates or anything. So they're basically meeting everywhere.
Yeah.
We have people meeting in various different locations. So I think people just need to kind of like break the box, but not to say that there aren't some traditional things that need to continue to happen. But I do believe that reimagining means that you get to co-create with people instead of two or three or four people sitting together in a room, usually, you know, white males. They can invite people from the community, people that are already part of their church community, and say, how can we reimagine this faith community?
Yeah,
and give people a voice.
I love that, Liz. Off air, Liz, my husband texted me. Kevin Sampson was in a cohort with you and Dr. Soong Chun Ra. So I love that we have that connection. I didn't know that. But I bring that up because I know you have a cohort, church planting cohort, that's running in January, the justice-oriented church planting cohort. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, sure. Oh, look at that. I love it. It's a small world.
Isn't that fun? I love it, too. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, it's interesting. Yes, I actually took that cohort because I wanted to learn more about, you know, confronting power and privilege and some of the things that we've been, you know, confronted with in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And my cohort, which is the inaugural cohort, we just graduated a 12 church planters last Wednesday.
Awesome. And,
yeah, I was so excited about that. And believe it or not, the majority were women. There were 7 women in the group.
Amazing.
Which is unheard of. Usually there's not that many women. And what we talked about, again, were things that I didn't feel I needed to recreate because the other church networks are doing a great job about it. You know, vision, budgeting, you know, team development, all that stuff. They're doing a great job. There was no need to reinvent the wheel. What I wanted to do is supplement what other church planters get from other networks. And we talked about how to be a healthy pastor, right? So developing yourself, understanding when you're toxic, basically, and what to do when you see that's already rearing its ugly head.
Wow.
We talked about ethnicity and culture in leadership, because most of the time when we come into evangelical spaces, what happens is they tell you to leave your culture at the door because we're all one under the blood. But really, when you come to the Lord, you're supposed to become more of who you are, not less of who you are.
That's so good.
So we talk about that, and we talk about how you celebrate that. Well, you could celebrate everyone. No one is one above the other, but all of them are great and awesome, and those should be celebrated. You know, we talked about a theology of justice, obviously, because, you know, in this time that we're living in, there's such a debate now about, you know, justice, and if it's a God thing or if it's a party, you know, politics thing. And, of course, you know, we believe that it is biblical, and we talk about that, and we go through the whole canon of scripture to discuss this theology of justice. And the whole purpose of Passion to Plant is to help plant us to start justice-oriented churches right from the start. Because once the ship goes out to sail, it's really hard to turn it around. Mm. So if we have church planters already thinking about that from the beginning, and that's part of their DNA, we believe that there are going to be more healthier churches, more churches that are actually being of more good to their community because they're helping in areas that community specifically needs. We even talked about the role of the Black church in civic activism and the role of the Brown church in civic activism, because we believe that the church does have a role in civic advocacy, and it's a different role. Everybody's not going to be doing the same thing, and no, we're not saying that everybody's going to go and to Washington, D.C. and have, protest various different things, but we do believe that you may need to go to your ombudsman in your city. You may need to go to your mayor in your city. You may need to advocate for the people in your church whose water has been turned off. You may need to go and work with the elderly in your community to help them with their social security. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many different ways that a lot of pastors don't realize it's actually civic advocacy, because you're trying to address policies. Now, sometimes they don't go to the root issue. They go to what's happening at the moment. But we want to train pastors to go back. What is the root issue, and why is this continuously happening in your community?
That's great.
And we talked about a whole bunch of other stuff, too, like cross-cultural engagement and worship and even why women are called.
That's right. Amen.
Liz, as we kind of close it up here, really grateful for your time. One of the questions, especially kind of in the pandemic, that we like to ask pastors is just this. If you're hopeful for the future of the church, what is it that makes you hopeful? Why are you hopeful for the future of the church?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, my goodness. Well, I think for us as Jesus believers, we are people of hope. So even though we may be downcast, you know, like the Bible says in Psalms, right? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? We are going to have those moments where we're going to be downcast and we're sad and we're lamenting and we're grieving.
Yeah.
So we are people of hope. If we remember what happened on the cross, the promise of the cross, we know that, yeah, you know what? The Spirit is always at work in the hearts of the people. And while the Spirit is always at work, the mission continues, the mission remains, and we will always have the strength and wherewithal to do what God has called us to do.
Mm. That's a great word. Again, Reverend Dr. Liz Rios is the founder and president of Passion to Plant. You can find out more at passiontoplant.com. That's passion, the number two, and plant.com. You can also connect with Dr. Rios at elizabethrios.com and follow her on Twitter at Dr. Liz Rios. Again, that's at Dr. Liz Rios. Liz, it is so great to meet you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invitation. God bless you, Chicago.
There Woo! You go, and you as well. You're listening to The Common Good here on AM 1160. Hope for your life.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.